Right here in the garden with Rosie on the house and John J. Harper. We're talking a whole lot of things and anything you want to talk about your gardening, your landscaping, your irrigation, your fertilizing, your tree trimming, your hedging. We're talking a little bit about how nice June has been and maybe not quite as, but you know, it, and again, it may just be my brain turning to mush. But it seems like summer's coming later and later and later. The last four or five springs have been pretty darn nice. But the last four or five July and August is we have really paid for it.
We pay for it, and we also seem to pay for it in the fact that it doesn't. We don't cool off in the fall. It lasts longer in that direction.
Oh, it seems that way.
Middle of September, it used to, the nights cooled off. It dried out. By the first October, it was well on its way, and now it's more like the Halloween before.
How are y'all this morning?
Good. We're getting ready to go to callers. You got one for
John Jay, we had a caller call in, and he wanted to know how you find other varieties of grapes. He said all he could seem to find was Thompson and Flame, and he was wanting to try some other things.
Well, generally, Thompson, Flame, Ruby, and Perlette, which is a green one like Thompson but bigger, are the most reliable. Ruby and Flame, you know, are the two reddish tinged grapes that we grow here. And those are the four that are very reliable here. They're all table grapes. We do occasionally get somebody that wants to mess with, you know, some of the wine grapes. And, you know, perhaps if you're in an area where you've got good drainage, well-drained soils, maybe on Carefree Cave Creek, maybe cooler a little out towards Florence, Casa Grande, you know, you can get into some of the other varieties. But by and large, most of those are pretty hit and miss. And some of them, I know people that have tried Concords and some of those, and they just won't work here, at least well enough for a nursery to bring them in and stock them and say, yes, we can tell you with confidence you will have luck with these. So if you really want to go crazy and get exotic, you know, some nurseries will special order certain things for you if you'll buy enough quantity, or you may have to just do it on the internet or go to, you know, the great thing about Arizona is you can go to a nursery in Flagstaff.
Be there 2.5 hours.
And probably find a Concord grape, you know, if you really want to do that. So,
no guarantee that it'll make the trip back down to the heat.
You know, I did a little backyard consult with a gentleman the other day that couldn't find a certain juniper variety here in town. So he went to Payson, I think, Star Valley, and bought some. And this isn't anything against the nursery in Star Valley. They're stocking them because they do well there. Brought them here, and I think every one of them is going to be dead.
Mm.
So, yeah, you know, there's a reason sometimes that nurseries don't stock things here.
Let's get to Bart and Wilcox. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Bart, welcome to the program.
Yes, I got a problem with my garden. My wife bought some disease-resistant tomato seeds and cantaloupes, and we moved the garden because we had it years past, but now the plants have got them, and they're up in pretty good size and flowering and producing fruit. But the leaves are starting to curl and turn yellow and die. What could we do to alleviate this problem?
Why do you think it's a disease and not just nutrients or something else?
Well, it takes about a week, and the plants will start curling, the leaves start curling in.
Uh-huh.
And she was spraying them with an antifungal last year, and it seemed to help.
Okay.
And she put Clorox in the water when she was watering the plants, and that seemed to help last year, but this year it's not helping.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm at a huge disadvantage without being able to see your plants and know, you know, what's going on and what exactly they look like. But is there anybody in... Well, I don't know if there's anybody in Wilcox or not. But
I know that they have the biggest hydroponic tomato factory in the world down there. That's quite ambitious that you live next to the biggest tomato producer and you want to grow your own. I'm impressed.
Nature Fresh and run those plants over there. But, you know, you may have to take a trip up to Tucson or something, go to Savano's. At least they're on that end of Tucson.
Or Green Valley Nursery is great, and that would keep you from going all the way into Tucson.
It would be a lot further than Tucson
from
Wilcox. You got to go to Tucson and then go south to Green Valley, don't you?
Well, what's that road that Savano's on? When it dead ends into Sorita that goes straight across.
But I would get some leaves over to somebody.
Appalachians, maybe. That's a pretty big production, though.
Yeah, there's lots of people in the. Maybe there's a county agent in. Is that Graham County or Cochise County? Whatever county you're in, maybe call a county agent, extension agent, and see if you can't run them some samples of your leaves. Let's get somebody that's in the area that's familiar with conditions in your area that can help you diagnose what's going on, because this is 2 years in a row. There's something going on.
But either Savano or Green Valley are the two closest we're familiar with.
Yeah, maybe somebody in Sierra Vista. That would be a little closer. If there's somebody in Sierra Vista, check that out.
Excellent. Jay and Santan, welcome to the program. How may we help you?
Well, I've got a lot of spurge in my lawn. The lawn, of course, is a hybrid Bermuda. And I'd like to know how to get rid of it this time of year with the temperatures like they are.
Well, most of the broadleaf herbicides are okay to use as long as it's probably about 90 degrees. You have to look at them. They vary a little bit product by product. But as long as you're spraying early in the morning before the temperature gets above that temperature range, you're okay. There are some good broadleaf herbicides that will control spurge.
Okay, so it's the application time temperature that they're concerned about rather than daytime high.
Correct. When you
apply.
Okay,
great.
So you got to apply it early in the morning when the temperatures are cool. Now, with spurge, ultimately, your long-term best solution is to also apply some pre-emergent herbicides a couple, three times a year, especially the product that contains Dimension. That's pretty darn effective against spurge.
Something with Dimension. Okay,
yeah,
great.
As a pre-emergent.
Now, in my dilemma, because my yard was completely overrun by spurge last year because of a bad timing relationship between me and my pre-emergent guy. He just got there a little bit later than he ordinarily does, and it had taken off. It was gone. So I started treating it with Weed Be Gone.
The existing spurge?
A liquid that I put into a sprayer.
Weed Be Gone is one up product. Fertilome Weed Out. There's a product I really like. Fertilome Weed Out plus Q, or you can buy it generically. I think it's Quinlarac. It starts with a Q. It's hard to pronounce, but that does a great job on spurge.
That Fertilome really, and I hit my yard hard with pre-emergent. I mean, really hard. Because I guess that pre-emergent, and I was using the Surfland and the water down in a water hose end applicator. And I've just thought, I got to get it down through. I cut it real short. I got to get down to the ground. The pre-emergent has to get to the ground.
Right.
And I still didn't get all that spurge. So I'm having to go out there once a week and hit it with that Fertilome product every morning.
It's a battle. A spurge thing has really become a huge, huge problem. It's a problem for nursery growers, spurge coming up in the pots and the containers of things. It's a big, big problem.
Well, it's a war at my house, but I really do believe I'm on top of it right now. My yard really looks good.
If you go out and pull it, don't just hula-hoo it around. Pull that stuff up and put it immediately into a plastic garbage bag. It's just loaded with seeds.
Mm.
And if you see the birds out there, they love the seeds on that stuff, and they spread it around. So, boy, get rid of it as fast as you see it.
Pre-emergent, and then hit it with the Weed Be Gone. And I'm seeing that Weed Be Gone. I hit it in the morning. Mm-hmm. By the next morning, you can see the leaves curling up, and
pretty quick.
You hit it just hard enough to get it without hurting the grass, and everything's going to be well.
The problem is you still got the seed there, so you still got to just keep after it and keep applying.
So true.
Pre-emergent as well.
I was doing a little research for our last caller there in Wilcox.
Yes, sir.
If you type in nurseries in Wilcox,
yes, sir.
Savano and Tucson's the second name that comes up.
Okay.
So, and looking at it on the map, it is a little closer. It's on Houghton Road, and Houghton dead ends into Sorita, which would take them into Green Valley. But Savano's is closer. But we could also send them into the tree farm in New Mexico on the other side. Was the third one that came up.
Well,
he's almost there.
And I really think there are so much agriculture in that part of the state, that there's got to be a pretty good county agent, extension agent, that would be able to help them, you know, so try that as well.
Outstanding. It's 1-888-767-4348, 1-888-ROSIE-4U. We were talking as we were getting ready for the show, and forgive me if I missed this from the first part of this segment, but one thing we were talking about is that landscapers need a license for doing the installs and the design. Mm-hmm. You made up a great point. You know, maintenance contractors don't do that, but there are other things that they should be carrying with them we need to check.
Yeah, like workman's comp and liability insurance. And I went out to see a gentleman the other day that it's actually a pest control service. One of their trucks broke a limb off of a tree. So, you know, if the accidents happen, I mean, they're just going to happen. So are they covered for that? You know, so you want to make sure you're not on the hook if somebody falls off out of the tree, cuts themselves with the lawnmower. I don't know where it is, but it used to be, you know, lawnmower injuries were way up there as far as, you know, just general visits to the emergency room. So anybody's handling things that are sharp and powered by an engine combined, you know, there's just a potential for somebody getting hurt. So make sure they're covered at least by some kind of insurance, bond, that sort of thing.
And if your homeowners association is, you know, select whatever maintenance company is doing it, they've probably investigated that. Might be worth checking into it, though, just to make sure. I mean, it couldn't hurt if you've just got...
Ask them to see it.
Ask them. There you go. Roger, welcome to the program. How may we help you, sir?
Yes, I got a large backyard. Nothing out in the backyard. I'm looking to put some shade around the swimming pools. My thought was put in a couple of visitor museums about 30 feet, 40 feet from the pool.
Okay.
What's your thoughts on that?
30 or 40 feet away, it shouldn't be an issue.
No problem with
I mean, you're always, you get a good, you know, monsoon wind, it's going to blow stuff 30 or 40 miles. But there's no absolute clean tree, and there's no absolute certain amount of distance that, you know, but the general just kind of falling straight down out of the tree stuff, if you're that far away from the pool, I would think you're pretty safe.
1-888-767-4348. It's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. If you have any questions about your landscape garden, we will be back right after this for the final garden segment of Rosie on the House Saturday morning.